We read from the New Testament from Romans chapter 12, reading verses 1 to 8. Romans chapter 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. May God bless the reading and preaching of his word to us all. Coming near the end of our series on the gifts of the Spirit, just one more message after today. We haven't been looking at passages as such. It has been a thematic study where we're taking teaching from various parts of Scripture and applying them. And I want to speak today and in our final study on discovering or developing our gifts. We're coming now to the practical application. I hope that all of us who are believers know what some of our gifts are. And as we read in Romans 12:6, the apostle says, having gifts, let us use them. They're not ornaments. They're not to be put up on the mantelpiece of our lives to be admired. They're not for our own self-esteem or our reputation. They're not so that people can say, look at the great gifts that person has. They are meant to be used. To have a gift and not to use it is to incur guilt before God. Our Lord, in a parable, spoke scathingly of those to whom talents had been entrusted, but instead of using the talents, they buried them in the earth. Peter makes the same emphasis as Paul in 1 Peter 4:10. As each has received a gift, as each, that's every believer, has received a gift, use it to serve one another. And in saying this, I'm not saying something that most of you aren't doing already. I know that's the case. Most of us do know what some of our gifts are. And most of us, I believe, are using those gifts in the service of God. But others of us may not really be sure what our gifts are, or may not be using them as we should be for God. And it's possible that all of us have gifts which as yet we don't know about. They're lying there in your personality undiscovered. Things you could be doing for God, you've never tried. You've never thought about that particular thing. But God has built it into you. It's there. And it's an exciting thought for each of us. Perhaps there are abilities and gifts that I have that I've never really thought about or seen myself as having. And there's work for God that I could be doing that I haven't done. That's why we come to this double study, discovering our gifts. And I want to divide it into two, and if I could give it an Al Martin sort of title, today's study is general preparation for discovery of gifts, and then, God willing, in 2 weeks, specific steps to discovery of gifts. So I want us to look this morning at the general preparation for discovery of gifts, and to think for a short time first of the church's responsibility, and then secondly of the individual's responsibility. How can the church help its members to discover, develop, and use their gifts? Well, I think there are two things that the church must do. We must, first of all, create a favourable climate. We must create a favourable climate for the discovery and development of gifts. If you want a plant to grow, it has to be in a favourable climate. If the climate is too hot, the plant will shrivel and wither and die. Likewise, if the climate is too cold, the seed will never grow. The climate has to be favourable for the growth of gifts. And so a church can create a climate which is either too hot or usually too cold. And in that unfavourable climate, gifts don't develop. They don't grow. So it's our responsibility as a church to create a climate favourable for the development of gifts. In other words, we must not regard people, in a rather horrible or common expression, as pew fodder. Pew fodder. You know what fodder is. You take a fork and you give it to animals, and the animals gobble it up. And the picture is of a pew, as it were, as a gaping hole or mouth. And you just shovel people into the pews, and there they are, and they sit in the pews, and they keep the pews full. And your job is to occupy a space here on the Lord's Day. In other words, the church has to do what we've been doing for the last 10 studies. The church has to teach about the ministry of every member of the church. To teach about gifts and the use of gifts. And we have to encourage people to try their wings. To do things that they're not very experienced at. They're not perhaps very good at yet. They're a bit apprehensive about, and they have never done before. That means we can't be perfectionist. We can't have unrealistically high standards. We can't have a negative, critical, carping spirit. We've got to have a place in the church for people trying things and not doing them terribly well and giving them time to improve and not jumping all over them just because they're beginners and they're learning it. In other words, giving them space and encouragement. How can you develop your gifts if you don't try? Supposing at the theological college we were to judge our first year students in their first effort at preaching as if they were experienced ministers of 20 years and come down on them like a ton of bricks and say this was wrong and this was wrong, it'd be devastating. You'd break their spirits. So we say, well, they're just beginning. They're just learning. And in fact, we have a different marking system for first, second, and third year students. I don't know if the students know that, but we require more of them in their third year than we do of their first. It's a climate in which gifts will develop. We've got to develop in the church an active atmosphere. We've got to have high expectations of our church members. That it's a great thing and a serious thing to follow Christ and to be one of his servants. There's got to be the expectation in a church that everyone will be involved in the work of the church. That there will be no mere passengers. I read of a congregation in Connecticut, in northeastern America, where on the notice board outside, they had this: ministers, the entire congregation. So that would be a good thing to have on a church notice board. Ministers, the entire congregation. And as part of this favorable climate, the church, I believe, should offer help and training to people in the use and development of their gifts. And this is probably where we as a congregation and perhaps as a denomination are falling down. We're improving. We're offering help now to our elders with a manual whereby they can develop their gifts. We're helping them to be elders. But we probably need to do it more and more. If someone has never conducted family worship in their life, probably the elders of the church should be saying, well, look, if you feel a bit nervous about it, one of us can come along and lead it in your house for a few nights. You can see, we can talk about it, we can help you. When we ask someone to begin teaching a Sabbath school class, we probably should be sitting down with them and saying, well, look, this is what's involved. Here's an experienced teacher who's been doing it for some years. They can talk to you about the pitfalls and the difficulties. At the minute, we tend to pitch four people in, sink or swim. We hope you get on well. So the same with Sabbath school and CY leaders. The same with personal witness. If someone is shy or nervous or apprehensive, would it not be a good thing for the church to devise some way in which somebody gifted and experienced could say, here's how I share the gospel at work. Here's how I have a burden for personal witness. All of this would go far, I think, to creating what I'm calling this favorable climate. And that's probably something that the elders of the congregation should be talking and praying and thinking about over the next months and years. Is there more that we can do to encourage people, to help them, to train them to develop their gifts? And then the second thing, and it's linked with this, it's the church's responsibility to provide opportunities for the use of gifts. To provide opportunities, avenues for service. This is indeed the task of the leadership of the church. In Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, we read that Christ gave pastors and teachers. And what's their function? To equip the saints for the work of ministry. It's not that Paul's concept isn't that the pastors and teachers are doing all the work of ministry. It's that the saints, the members, the believers, they are ministry. The pastors and teachers, they'll also be ministering because they're members of the church too. But they're the coaches. They're the trainers. They're the equippers who set the people of God free. Now, we've said again and again in this study that gifts is more than church work. And we've made it clear that in all of our life, we're to use our spiritual gifts. But the work of the church is a very important sphere. And if there's nothing for people to do, then they get discouraged and their gift or gifts are stifled. We don't need you. There's nothing for you to do. There is no opportunity for you to serve. That's a most unfavorable climate. Now, if we're perhaps a little weak in training for gifts, surely this is a strength here. I wasn't able to be in at the United meeting last Sabbath morning when we had reports from different areas in which members of the congregation have been involved over the summer. But I heard about it, and I was thinking about it afterwards. What a multitude of opportunities for service. And those of you who are here at our United Midweek meeting on Wednesday evening, I went home again with the same impression. What a multitude of opportunities for service. How many ministries are going on in this congregation? Comparatively small church. How many things we're involved in. There is absolutely no shortage of need. There is no lack of opportunities. Whether your gift, as we're looking at Romans 12, whether it is serving or teaching or encouraging or giving or showing hospitality or leading or acts of mercy, there is an abundance of opportunities. We need you. So the church should encourage a favorable climate, and the church should provide opportunities for service. And we need to realize that we in Trinity are, I believe, at a place of great opportunity and great danger. Great opportunity and at the same time, great danger. Every church needs a basic level of manpower, woman power, to staff its core activities. You need people to teach in Sabbath school and take youth group and the other things. The worship, the teaching, the financial, the social, the practical. And small churches are short of manpower. Some of our churches are chronically short of manpower. They have very, very few people for the work that needs to be done. And sometimes for them it's almost all they can do to keep going. And they use up their energy, as it were, in keeping their common life. That's their challenge and their difficulty. But a growing church, a bigger church such as our own, reaches the point where we do have adequate people for essential maintenance. We've enough elders, enough deacons, we've Sabbath school teachers, we've CY leaders. We're not desperately casting about. We're not saying there's nobody else. What happens at that point? What happens at that point? Well, a number of things may happen. I suppose the worst thing is that commitment slackens. And the church starts getting passengers. People who take it easy. And the church reaches a plateau. It stops growing, it stops advancing, and everybody relaxes a bit, and you get a number of the members who really aren't making much of a contribution at all. And that's bad for them, and it's bad for the church. Or the church may realize that, and this is what some churches do, the church may develop what I would call busy work. All sorts of organizations and activities and things going on every night of the week to keep people occupied, to keep people busy with something for them to do. And the church drowns in its own activities and organization. But a far better solution would be for that church to use its surplus energies either to strengthening other churches, to founding a daughter church, Or, and this is what we're thinking of, to outreach in our own community in word and action to a needy world. And that's something that I think in the next few years we need to very seriously think about. God has given us a lot of people. God has given us many gifts. Are we using the gifts? Are we providing opportunities for the gifts to be employed? For if we don't, the whole thing will curdle and spoil. We'll become self-satisfied and complacent. The gifts will be stifled and we'll quench the spirit. It's like riding a bicycle. You can't stop turning the pedals. You never reach a stage where you can say, I can stop pedaling. The bicycle will fall. And the danger is that in a small church, you have passion, you have dynamism, you have commitment. And then you reach a point where you say, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And it's at that point that the rot sets in. I don't think we're at that point. But I could see it coming. That was partly our thinking in planting the work in Carrickfergus. We've got to maintain that mindset. I think our next challenge is not so much planting a work as reaching out in new ways from this congregation. So that's the church's responsibility. We have to provide a favourable atmosphere for the use of gifts and then opportunities for service. But secondly, and more briefly, what about the individual's responsibility? What do you and I need to do in developing and discovering our gifts? Let me mention three or four things. First of all, we need to pray. We need to pray. These are spiritual gifts, which our risen Saviour has granted through His Spirit. And you and I need to seek and ask. We need to go and talk to God. You need to talk to your Saviour, to pray for wisdom. Each of us needs to look in a mirror, to look at ourselves, to look at our families, to look at our church, to look at the needs, to look at our circumstances, our work, our balance of work and leisure, the energy we have, the time we have. We pass through different stages in our lives. There are times when our work is exceptionally demanding. And in obedience to God, we have to give a disproportionate amount of our energy and time to the work that He's called us to. That's the service of God too. That's not evading it. And there are times in our lives when we say, I can't give myself to this in the church because here are the demands on me. There are other times when that isn't the situation, we've more time available. There's no pattern for all. We can't judge other people. We can't have a template. We can't say so-and-so is serving God a great amount. Another person isn't serving God so much. You don't know. Sometime, perhaps, there's somebody in your family who's seriously ill. That has happened to some of our people in the last 2 or 3 years. And they've had, as it were, almost to put their life on hold for the care of that needy person in their family. They may need visited every day. They may need great spiritual and psychological help and support. And that's what you have to be doing. That's your service. But we need wisdom. We need wisdom. We need to pray. You and I need to pray for wisdom. Lord, what would you have me to do? We need, secondly, to obey. We need to obey. Gifts are duties. Jesus' commands parallel His gifts. The gifts He gives us are also commandments. We're commanded to serve and to give and to teach and to encourage and to show mercy. We're commanded to offer hospitality. We're commanded to exercise faith. These aren't options. We can't say, well, I'll take these things up if I feel like it. We are under an obligation. And as we obey our Master, as we do our duty, as we do the things which He has told us to do, we will find gifts developing. Things that we never knew we could do, we will find ourselves able to do. We will grow in grace and holiness. We'll be led into richer ministry. Thirdly, we need to participate fully in the life of our church. The gifts are given for the benefit of the church. Ephesians 4:12. For the building up of the body of Christ. And each of you should look at your commitment to this congregation. Is it what it should be? No solitary Christian can be healthy. No one who's uninvolved can develop their gifts. We saw that in a previous study. We need other people to develop the gifts of the Spirit, the gift of serving, the gift of encouraging. Well, I'm not meant to stand encouraging myself all day. I need somebody to encourage. I need somebody to serve. I need somebody to be hospitable to. I need somebody to teach. I need somebody to lead. You need people for the gifts. We need the context of others. And as we become involved in the life of the church, needs and opportunities will present themselves and we will discover our gifts. And if you step aside, if you opt out, how are you going to discover your gifts? It won't happen. Fourthly, we need to practice submission. This comes out in Romans 12. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. I say to everyone among you, not to think of themselves more highly than they ought to think. In other words, Paul says we need to cleanse our hearts. We need to purify our motives. We need to abandon self. We need to lay aside all pride and all ego and all thought of self-display. We need to kneel and yield ourselves to the Lord Jesus. And say, Lord, not what I will, but what you will. We need each one to say, Lord, I am ready to be whatever you want me to be. I am ready to do whatever you want me to do. I will lay aside my preferences, my comfort. I will offer my body as a living sacrifice. Such are the people God will use. Gifts without grace are extremely dangerous. Our Lord in Matthew 7 tells us that at the last day he will speak to some very, very gifted people. And he will say, depart from me. I never knew you. Gifts and grace go together. And when grace is lacking, the exercise of gifts does harm. One last piece of advice. We need to be patient. We need to be patient. In our enthusiasm for Christ, so much we feel we want to do. And sometimes we find our circumstances frustrating. In our homes, in our daily lives, in our congregation. The congregation isn't as alive. It's not as sensitive. It's not as encouraging, we feel, as it should be. And sometimes God makes us wait longer than we would like. But that waiting isn't a waste of time. For it's in that waiting that we learn to be sensitive and humble, and our faith and love are developed. And when Christ needs you, He will use you if you're available for Him. Amen. Let us bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You for deigning to use us in the work of Your kingdom. Flawed and imperfect though we are, thank You, Lord, for giving us the privilege of being workers together with You, that it pleases You to use us as channels of love and grace into the world. May we never see Christian service as a burden, but as an enormous privilege. The best way to spend a human life. And we thank You that You do not send us ungifted to the service which You have for us. But for every task to which You truly call us, You provide gifts which are more than adequate. Help us then to have confidence in You, in Your purpose for our lives, in Your wisdom, and in the assurance that You equip us perfectly for all that is our duty to do, and that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Make us, we pray, more and more as a church, a community where we delight to serve one another, to be involved with one another, to honour one another and appreciate the gifts of our brothers and sisters. Help us to encourage those who are beginning, who are timid or uncertain. Help us not, O God, to douse the flame of their love with the cold water of thoughtless criticism. Help us to help, to advise in any way we can. And we pray, O God, that You will lead us as a church into new avenues of service. And particularly in this community in which You have placed us, both practical and gospel service, that our gifts may be used in an outgoing way to bring healing. And help us each one to examine our own lives and our own hearts, that we may not be unfaithful, lazy servants, but good and faithful servants. We pray in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.